Thank you, David, and I would like to thank organizers for giving me an opportunity to put my views about high throughput phenotyping for CET. Those who do not know about CET, CET is International Center for Tropical Agriculture, one of the CG members, and focusing on four crops: bean, that's common bean, cassava, rice, and forages. And recently, it is focusing on fruit crops for Latin America. So my co-authors in this one, Dr. Rao, he's working for last 20 years on nutritional physiology there, particularly for common bean and forages. Manabu Ishitani is a molecular biologist, very much interested in carrying molecular biology to the field. Jyotome is leading the program. So the outline of my presentation is something like this: why we need a phenotyping platform. It has been explained by other speakers this morning. And the vision, like a phenotyping platform structure, high throughput options, and necessity to extend it to the fields. Then initiatives at CET, a 1.5 minute video. I think audio part of it is missing, but I will try to explain. CET's capacity to evaluate transgene technology in field and develop molecular marker approach, and that should provide a kind of information for collaboration with other institute. These slides fairly explain the need for abiotic stress tolerance in crop plants. Agroecosystems are under pressure for global food demand and because global population. And it's two components: favorable environment and unfavorable environment. They need attention. Favorable environment need less input to reduce the cost of production, and also environmental footprint of agricultural technologies. Unfavorable environment needs attention, and here exactly we have to increase the crop productivity. So crop tolerance to abiotic stress is the key, particularly when there is a lot of evidence about global climate change. In addition, we also have problem about nitrogen. The solution is we need genotype with everything: yield, disease resistance, quality. In addition to that, necessarily water use efficiency, nitrogen use efficiency, acid soil, high temperature tolerance. Here exactly advanced technologies need to be conventional technologies need to be complemented with advanced technologies to get genotypes for target plant environments. Challenges, the big challenge is carrying forward the genome science progress to that at the whole plant and crop level in the field. We have now hopes because of advances in genomics. They can provide some tools in the form of molecular markers, transgenes, to support conventional breeding, which could not make much progress in the past because of complexities involved in drought tolerance and abiotic stress tolerance. We know a lot about genes now because of a lot of studies, but limiting the bottleneck is we really do not know gene trait association fairly to address abiotic stresses. To do that, we should have to screen large number of genotypes, maybe 1,000, 5,000 or more than that. CET has screened more than 30,000 TDNA mutant in its field only for yield traits to look into some of the genes. So if you look into evolution of gene sequencing technology, so the cost of genome sequencing was $70 million, and now it is around $70 for a genome, and that can be done in a two to three minutes. The question is, can phenotyping, plant phenotyping, keep pace with genotyping? Here exactly we need high throughput phenotyping. Management of stress, that's automatic, precise, and it should be efficient. Characterization of plant response, it should be precise, non-invasive, rapid, and the efficiency of these techniques will be determined by number of plants phenotype, precision, operational cost, time required, and the key is a shift from manual phenotyping to instruments and automation. We have option of hyperspectral technologies to accelerate the process of phenotyping. I don't want to explain these. These technologies have been explained, like they have been used by LaminarTech, and also some of the laboratories like Hulich Research Center at Hulich. What we really want to do is we want to carry this one to the field. So we have to have something like this. It's just a model and it's just a vision that we have, that the machine should move in the field to accelerate the process. They should characterize the environment as well as plant responses. This specifically for plant responses. And plant phenotyping platform that we are visualizing, that should have a trait phenotyping component and a field phenotyping component for discovery, early identification, validation, and also environmental impact. So QTLN gene markers, promising lines, proof of concept and field, they are tested, they have to be done under field condition at the selection sites and also multi-location sites to understand genotype into environment interaction, to give feedback to the people using GIS or climate policy makers, and ultimately the whole platform should lead to development of eco-efficient products. The focus should be on integrative traits and process. When we talk about slow metal conductance or deep root, for me it is an event. Lot of events in sequence that they will explain the process, and we have an opportunity to understand that by employing hyperspectral techniques. For example, as explained by previous speaker, the canopy temperature over time, that should explain, that should give us more information about the mechanisms or processes, and probably if we develop model or characterize it properly and relate it to the gene network and ultimately to its master as a lead, probably we can use molecular marker information, molecular marker efficiently in selection of drought tolerance or stress tolerance genotypes. If you look into this one very carefully, like here Nerica 4, which is the drought tolerant one, and IR64 is not that drought tolerant. When you remove a leaf out of water and put it, the susceptible one, IR64, it rolls up within 2 minutes, and in case of Nerica 4, it doesn't. So we score leaf rolling, but leaf rolling will not give you this type of information. Something more is going on. Probably that's the reason leaf scores will not correlate with yield, or you may not get a good marker for this one. If you look into the thermal images, what exactly it explains, during this 2 minutes period, it's trying to absorb whatever the water, like transpire whatever the water it has, and it tries to keep itself cool, and then it stops working. So this, to track this type of process, we really need methods which are rapid. We need rapid method to track genetic variation that are not easily visible. That's the background with which we thought that we should think of something like rapid method. Then we thought about like how best we can use an infrared camera that we purchased to make the process rapid. What we had was a rainout shelter, a mobile boom irrigation system in that rainout shelter, and infrared camera with 0.1 degrees of resolution. What we did was invested about $600 to buy local made accessories to mount the camera on boom system, barcode and barcode readers, modified codes provided by the camera suppliers to capture the image, then output enhanced capacity to capture image by manually, otherwise we used to capture something like 50 good images useful for image analysis in per day by one research assistant. But with this automation, now we can capture more than 500 images in 40 minutes. There's a small video, probably without the audio, I will try to explain. Our main focus is on yield, but we are using leaf canopy temperature as a secondary treat. For that, just purchase the camera with a mini computer along with this. This is the overall seed picture. This is the software that we developed, modified, and this is the camera with the mini computer. And then we loaded our software in it. We modified it to hold a barcode reader. And then this is the barcode reader. Camera mounted on boom irrigation system, and it reads the barcodes all the way. And then once the barcode is read, then it gives the signal to the software to store that image, and then shoot the image and store the image. The camera, infrared camera, captures the IR image, and the web camera of the mini computer captures the visible image simultaneously, and they send the images to two different folders. We can capture the images, more than 500 images in just 40 minutes, and at one button it will be transferred to ESP port, and that can be carried to laboratories, and then we can analyze those images by using software provided by the camera makers, that infrared ink. And we can also take the images even under night conditions with this system. That's what we just initiated. Now we have to the status of this technology that we developed at SEAD. The capacity to capture images more than 500. Additional investment that made was about $600. Then image analysis that is in progress, and we are depending on Image J software, which is publicly available to do this job. And this needs to be standardized, and relevance to draw, this needs to be carried out. So right now, like we are using the technology for rice under rainout shelter, and my colleague Dr. Rao, he tried it in beans also. Now we are standardizing this procedure for beans. What exactly this slide shows is the relation between the canopy temperature measured by thermal camera, thermal images, and the infrared gun. So there was quite a good correlation. So this is about the technology that we developed, and this is about the platform that we have developed for evaluation of transgenic rice plants. We are now evaluating more than 25 gene constructs, and each of them we have a very good transgenic production pipeline and evaluation pipeline. Our focus is on field, and we do have some protocols to screen genotypes under screenhouse condition. So we, as I showed you, like we have a rainout shelter, and we are screening all of this. This is situated in a confined field for transgenic evaluation. It is about 1.5 hectares, and we every like in the every batch we can evaluate about 90 to 100 genotypes with 4 replications of alpha lattice design. Whenever we evaluate transgenic plant, we have a field design where by the side of transgenic plant we have non-transgenic plants. The difference between non-transgenic and transgenic plants is the actual data for us, and that amplifies the volume of work of phenotyping, and we thought this type of technique will be useful. So this explains the workflow, how we are dealing with the transgenic. We are getting the transgenes from advanced labs, and right now we are collaborating with two of the Japanese institutes for genes, and then we are putting it in one of the popular rice genotypes of Brazil, that's Latin America. And before putting it, there will be a quality check, and then our aim is to get at least 20 events for each gene constructs, and then we just advance them to get a single copy homozygous line, and then just all the way we keep a track on agronomic traits. If they are not really good, then just we reject them, and only the one which are agronomically good, we evaluate them for drought tolerance. This is what the facility is all, we are trying to simulate natural upland conditions there, and all the time we are keeping a track on soil moisture level throughout the field. We are like spreading soil moisture probes, like access tubes, and we are using AquaPro for measuring soil moisture at different level. We know how much water we are applying through boom irrigation system, and we know what is the profile, soil moisture profile up to 1 meter depth. And then we have developed some of the technologies like infrared technology, and this is about nitrogen use efficiency evaluation platform. Recently we created N omission plots in about 1.5 hectares, and then we have started evaluating some of the non-transgenic and transgenic plants at different with different doses of nitrogen. We obtained some of the transgenic NUE efficient Nipomvare lines from University of Alberta, and for the first time we tried to evaluate them at 3 doses of nitrogen, and some of the transgenic events, they were better than the non-transgenic events. It is just a preliminary trial, and we want to like transfer this gene to the commercial varieties and evaluate whether this gene will work. We have a nice standard operating procedure while dealing with transgenic events in confined field that starts well from laboratories to the screenhouse and the field, and we keep a track of all those material by using barcodes and also laboratory information management system. We are very lucky, and CIT is uniquely placed to evaluate gene technology because of generic permission for field evaluation of transgenic events of cassava and rice. This permits us to evaluate any genes under field condition, but only the condition is that we have to submit a report to semester report to the government of Colombia every 6 months, and we should inform them about new gene constructs that we are bringing in. In addition to the headquarter at Palmyra, we are trying to get permission to evaluate gene technology at one of the locations which is highly prone to drought, that Santa Rosa, that is in the central part of Colombia, and we are likely to get it within 2 months. In addition to like transgene technology, the efforts are on to pursue molecular marker approaches, and our best bet is the CSSL lines that we have produced by using popular Latin American varieties and wild relatives. So our objective is to screen these lines for different abiotic stresses, find out the candidate segment line, and then look into the molecular markers. This explains our vision to have Project CIAT as one of the important hub for global network of plant phenomics. We are interested in stacking the genes for abiotic stress tolerance. We are developing in the plant, a good plant phenotyping platform with a multidisciplinary approach. CIAT has a vast experience in root studies for beans, and also aluminum tolerance, drought tolerance both in beans and rice. We are also like trying to initiate experiments on high temperature tolerance and water logging tolerance. Altogether, along with the transgenic approach and high throughput approach, should make CIAT a good center for collaboration with respect to plant phenotyping for abiotic stresses. So finally, summary or outlook is crop improvement can be accelerated by genomic approach. Phenomics can greatly complement this. Imaging technologies, automation can facilitate high throughput phenomics, but a long way to go. A network of research centers with field phenotyping platform is inevitable, because there is a lot of gene-to-e interaction that we have to address. NARS, that is the National Agriculture Research Systems, can play a significant role in developing these technologies and to get benefit. Thank you.
questions for Jagdeep?
At present, like we are talking about nitrogen use efficiency in irrigated rice, and
okay,
so that's really crucial there.